Australia experiences a range of hazardous weather events like storms, floods, and fire weather, which have enormous societal and economic impacts. This was clearly demonstrated by events last year and this year. Experts warn that as the climate changes, many of these hazards will increase in frequency and intensity. So, how will we predict these hazardous weather events in the future? We are joined now by Dr. Claire Vincent, a lecturer of atmospheric science at the School of Earth Sciences at the University of Melbourne, to discuss this very topic. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, I'm going to start off by asking you, are we looking at more storms, floods, and fire weather in the future?
Well, that's a really interesting question. The severe weather that New South Wales has been experiencing recently has been associated with what's known as East Coast lows. So these are a particularly dangerous and intense weather system that is characteristic in this region, and they are responsible for most of the flooding rains and infrastructure damage and coastal erosion that we see along the New South Wales coast. Now, we do normally see a few East Coast lows every year, and often we do get a really severe one. So there's no trend in the number of East Coast lows at the moment, up till now. Future climate projections are uncertain on the topic, but they do suggest that there might actually be some decrease in the number of East Coast lows in the future climate due to global warming. On the other hand, due to sea level rise, the impact of the coastal erosion and dangerous surf will be much more if we do get the sort of dangerous surf and coastal erosion whipped up that we've been seeing in these recent events. In terms of extreme weather generally, the key message here is that the change will not be uniform. But there are some indications that we might see more extreme rainfall or extreme rainfall more frequently over some land regions. But again, this will not be uniform over all regions.
And it's absolutely important to be able to forecast these kind of events. Now, I think as a child, I watched the weather report on the news bulletin and just kind of somehow thought that the weatherman or weatherwoman just looked into their crystal ball and somehow knew what the weather was going to be. But how are we actually able to predict such events?
Well, that's also a really good question. So we would all love to have a crystal ball on the weather. So there have been really significant advances in many aspects of forecasting these severe weather events, both in our ability to observe them and in the high performance computing that allows us to model them and predict them, and also in our scientific understanding of the processes. So one example is that our observations of severe weather come not only from traditional things like rain gauges, but also from radars and satellites. So, for example, the Japanese geostationary satellite Himawari 8, which luckily covers the Australian region, launched in 2014, now gives us really well-defined images of the clouds and weather systems over Australia every 10 minutes, which means we can really see these things developing in near real time. And there have been large improvements in radar data as well. At the same time, our computer predictions occur on some of the biggest supercomputing facilities in the country. And these expansions in computing power allow us to now explicitly model some of the storm processes that in the past we could only sort of infer from the larger scale background meteorology.
Now, you kind of mentioned it there with some of what we used to use for weather forecasts and some of the cool stuff we have now, like with the Japanese satellite. But how have weather forecasts changed and improved in recent decades?
Yeah, so I guess an example is that going back to the East Coast lows, maybe a decade ago, they develop very quickly. They spin up very quickly. So a decade ago, we might have only had a day's notice that one would form, or they could catch people off guard. And now we generally know sort of at least 3 or 4 days out that there's a high likelihood of this kind of event happening. So the improvements in our forecast are not only in the accuracy, but it's in how far ahead we're able to get a reasonable sense of what's coming.
And that's so important to be able to know, you know, have a bit of warning to be able to prepare for the weather. It's such an important thing. And I think it's definitely a privilege. We just kind of take it for granted sometimes. But it's amazing all that work that has gone into the improvements and innovation around forecasting. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you, how can we expect future weather forecast to look like? What's next?
Well, I think the improvements in computing power are ongoing, so getting a better and better resolved sort of image of what's going on. But I think also predicting and mitigating weather hazards is a really multidisciplinary exercise. So it involves not only meteorologists, but it brings together the whole team of computer scientists and modellers and emergency services personnel and the all-important science communicators to get that message out to the public. So I think the future is in the improvements to the science, but also the improvements to that kind of integrated information flow of the forecasting.
It's definitely a team effort. Thank you so much, Claire, for joining us and telling us all about it.
Thanks, Marlene.